get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hi everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical spiritual information show that's designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are going to be talking about the ideal environment for mind, body and spirit. So here we're going to be talking about over the weeks we've been talking about health and your environment within your home and the ripple effect into the world. Today we're continuing that with talking about shaping our homes into enhancing our spirit's journey. So if you'd like to join us with a question relating to the subject, it's not a reading situation, okay, but if you're interested in what we're talking about and you would like to join in with that, then we'd love to hear from you. The number is a free phone number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. And Canada is 888-815-9756. If there's any international callers awake, it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST. We have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. And if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us. And then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. Not only do I miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. And it's not necessary for me to do that, remember what that was, because it's not really part of my job description. I've just got to let go, and the whole letting go process involves me not having actually any recollection of where it was I've been. And that's kind of the way it is. Anyway, have a great show, everyone. I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie now.
And thank you.
That's it.
And you're going to go off.
I'm going to go off.
Okay.
Right.
Gregory, who you will be hearing shortly, is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless, and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. If you have an idea for a show topic that you would like us to cover, then you can also send that to us at enq@spirit-teaching.com. If you have any questions to go with that suggestion, even better. It means that we can do it sooner than later. You can also see us on secondlife.com on Sunday, the 7th of September. That's 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific at the Mystic Academy at the New Oracle Temple, where you can have another chance to interact with Gregory. And we have great fun. So, like I say, today we are going to be talking about creating harmony within and without, and creating an environment to improve not only our health, but enhance our spiritual progress while also helping the planet. Not an easy feat, but we've been coming up with some, well, spirit, with the help of Spirit, we've been coming up with some interesting ideas over the past few weeks. So we want to make our home healthier, but also it's for mind, body and spirit, isn't it? It's not only energy efficient, it's the whole package. So I do believe Gregory's here. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon you, my dear friend.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay, so today I think we should talk about how we can attract good energy into our into our homes, really.
Yes.
We've been talking about the actual objects that we put in it and what they're made of and the energy around those and how that affects us and the planet. But if we can focus on a different situation today, I think maybe maybe on aesthetic things, but things that maybe we didn't realise do affect us. And in particular, I'd like to talk about how maybe focusing on colour and shapes and positions of our homes and the shapes of our homes and that sort of thing, and how
yes.
how the use of different situations to do with the eye really can help us.
Yes, and it is really important, this aspect of your home life, the space that you live within it, is something critical to the mass of your well-being, how you feel about yourself and your environment. If you look purely and simply at the four walls, or however many walls it is that you have in your dwelling space, and we're really talking at the moment about whether necessity has it that you are a person who actually owns your dwelling, or that perhaps you are renting it. So we are, of course, mindful that not everyone owns the space they live in. So what you actually are able to do with it, accommodate within it, is something that's a matter of great debate, I suppose, depending upon what situation your living condition is in. So, to begin with, then, what we need to look at is the shapes of things. The shapes of everything in your house is important. In whatever dwelling space you live, you have to understand what shapes disharmonize your physical being. The shapes that do this are ones which are unnatural. So, if you are looking at walls, most walls in most people's houses have sharp corners. They have had for a very long time.
Yeah.
However, if we look at the work of Rudolf Steiner, we will see that, and not only did he do work really to do with autism and to do with children in difficulties with their spirit vis-a-vis physical embodiment and enhancement, what he also recognized was the fact that many of these issues come up with just really to do with the embodiment of the spirit in the physical state, and how it is that people find certain colors and certain shapes and positions of shapes actually come to blend with the spirit and help that spirit to have a happier life in the physical state. That's what you have to realize, really. That so if you're looking at your rooms, it will be that many of these have sharp angles and very defined shapes within them. Sharp angles, a 90-degree angle within a wall, for example, there isn't a great deal that you can do about it if it's taking angles of different directions. However, you can actually make it so that the angle itself is less defined, quite simply by taking the corner off of it and rounding it off, making it more subtle. Simply allows you to move around the corner and not actually having it making an abrupt line in your vision. lines in your vision. I understand that the modern ergonomics of the day, of your time of life, dictate that lines are of a great necessity, and they also create beauty as well. Of course they do. But I'm saying that much of the situation can be eased if within your home life, the lines that are within it are perhaps less defined, and that they're actually treated in more of a slightly rounded visionary way. Therefore, you do not actually see, when looking at a corner, the division of the corner, so that you do not see, it doesn't echo the division in your life. You see, if you live, shall we say, in a small place, a small dwelling that has lots of corners, every room has corners, it has four corners, even if it's just a box. And it'll have even more angles than that if it's not, if it has a shape of any sort or form, if it's an L shape or whatever. So you are looking at then different ways of defining that whole situation. You would be able to round off any kind of corner in this respect. You'd actually take out the status of its definition, if you like. What you have to understand is what this can bring to you is it can actually create a negative pass within you, just purely and simply by having to pass through or beyond a corner can do that. So when you are meted by a sharp, defined line, it can be something which then actually triggers responses to you. And the responses it can trigger are one of a kind of feeling of apprehension. And these all add up together, these apprehensive marks upon your life, particularly when it is a living space. Now, I am well aware that at times you would use, it will depend upon the materials that are engaged within it as well. So if you are just looking at a basic wall that has no visible material other than wallpaper or the plaster that is placed upon it, then the only real defined nature of it is going to be if there are different colors to the different planes of existence. So each part of the corner itself will be defined maybe by that change of color. Using color itself within a room setting is oftentimes very oblique. It is very stark and matter of fact. Just one full color, or perhaps a patterned wallpaper or some other annoying situation like that, which can actually also set off resonances within self that are not pleasing to the eye. So you actually have to be quite careful about what you bring into your home state that will really resonate with you. A piece of wallpaper might look all right to begin with, and then by the time you put it up, it's just far too much. And that kind of thing. And it actually, you find then that it doesn't resonate well with you. But what if you actually use color within, shall we say then, that you have an L-shaped room? Quite an easy situation, except for the fact that it actually has a part which is not seen, unless you stand at one particular apex point of the room, whereby you see all sides of it and all planes of existence. Anywhere else that you stand in the room, you are going to have a state of anxiety, unless, quite simply, because you're not seeing the whole place. And part of the situation when you are nest building is actually, when you are looking at your own home environment, is actually to do with the state of completion that you have. So your state of well-being is going to be reflected in the structure itself and how that structure releases energy upon you. So if you are actually going to paint perhaps the walls, shall we say. It is a good idea that perhaps to experiment and not specifically, maybe, to use one specific colour, but actually to use a blend of colours. I know this could end up as quite a mess, but I'm saying that you do this, you create a base pattern first, a base colour, and then you put other colours upon it, blending within it. You will find that it's much more easier upon the eye, quite simply because it appears that the colours move with the wall shape itself. And therefore, you are less defined to actually take in the sharp angles that it has within its structure.
So you wouldn't have to actually take the corners out, because I expect, you know, because we're thinking, gosh, we'd never sell the house if we didn't have anything, if we just got corners out of our house. You know, you'd have to put them back in again. So basically you're saying, are you, that if you get the colours right, then that will give make the eye feel that there's no corner.
Absolutely so.
Mm.
Yes.
So any ideas for that?
So it's really quite an interesting expedition that you make in colourising your dwelling space, actually to use the right forms of colours so that they don't attract deep shade, so that they don't attract the issues of difficult spaces. Difficult spaces are usually brought about by using abrupt colours. So if you actually use blended colours and, as I say, not just one colour, but a range of colours. You use a base colour to begin with, and then use a kind of a situation of flocking colours together, colours which are similar perhaps, but not identical. So, for example, if you are using a base pink, shall we say, which has a kind of a quite a warm resonance upon it, as pink will usually, unless it's got some form of blue, or unless it has a kind of an ice feel to it, which would mean then that it's too light. You can actually make different forms and shades of pink become even more searching and appearing not to have the limited depth of space that you place upon it if you just painted pink upon your wall. But actually what you do is you do use different intonations of that colour, perhaps even gradually adding white, or even darkening it down with a red or a perhaps an orange to bring it a different warmer blend to itself. And after you have laid the base colour of pink, you can then begin to actually give it a depth of field of itself, just simply by gradually adding little pieces of other colour within it, which help to change and shape the colour itself, so that you find that actually what you are looking at is, and these different other parts of this colour will be gradually dappled in to the base colour, you see? So that you won't actually notice. These aren't great changes. They're just very subtle changes. And what you will then find is that these the walls that perhaps were of a boring state, or maybe that they have a very obtrusive corner right in the middle of the room, as with an L shape, if you are standing on the outer rim of it and looking internally toward it, you will see that the colour, that the corner, the one single corner that sticks out into the middle of the room or whatever, providing the L shape, is something which gives you, that creates a difficulty within the room, and you want to blend it back. You simply use this base idea of a colour and then use other inflections of that colour in order to create depth of field which otherwise that wall would not have. And this actually simply begins to erase the corner that exists within the room.
You'd have to get it right, wouldn't you, and practice?
Of course, yes.
But I guess in this instance, as long as you've got time to do that, then you could practice, because, I mean, you know, it doesn't take long to dry, does it? Emulsion or whatever.
No, exactly.
So, yeah.
You're very fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. But you could also take down stark corners like that with nice fabric or something, drape. You know what I mean?
That is a possibility too.
A little less permanent.
Yes, absolutely so. Yes. But all I'm suggesting here really is that, you see, the nature of the existence is that people always have corners to contend with. So it is actually much better in order to utilize the corners and make them work for you rather than actually having as places of division within the create division within your life, you see.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, we're not talking here just about, we're not talking about how to decorate your home just for the sake of it.
No.
It is actually for a reason. So this would have the effect on you. What would be the difference in the effect on you the next day and from then on after you living with that situation beforehand?
Yes, well, you would actually find that it would change dramatically. To begin with, you would feel much more rested within that kind of environment. You would also feel as your spirit really was being uplifted by your living state. It's quite amazing, really, to come to understand exactly how corners in a room, simple corners in a room, can actually have such a dramatic effect upon your life and upon your living state. I, in fact, have long thought of the situation of people actually living in small round dwellings.
Really?
Yes.
Mm.
Absolutely so. Although, I have to say that it has its limitations. But it also means that not just necessarily round dwellings, but octagonal buildings or something like that, which are really can be so beautiful.
Oh, I would personally love that. Yes, absolutely love that.
Yes.
And of course, this is the Steiner, Rudolf Steiner theory, this theory that he made so famous, really.
Yes.
And the Waldorf schools, the shapes in that, then presumably what else can we take from the situation that he did in those schools? Apart from, again, there's no corners then in the classrooms or anything like that.
That's very true, and that's not a difficult situation either. Quite simply, all it means is that you just round off the situation so that it's not an abrupt corner.
Yes,
and
it doesn't have to be a total bubble you're in.
No, exactly so. And actually, what he found was, and his whole statement was that this helped to encourage the duality of spirit with physical life, helped to encourage that spirit to have a full embodiment within that physical life, and created a completion of holistic care. That's really what Rudolf Steiner was all about.
Yes, I think there's almost 1,000 schools, Steiner schools, Waldorf schools are called all over the world now.
Yes.
But, okay, yeah, so...
Anthroposophical.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's what, and I think that's not only is it a great word, but I thought that I actually did read about it, and it says Anthroposophy is a path of knowledge to guide the spiritual in the human being to the spiritual in the universe. I mean, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's just a perfect statement.
Yes, it is, because that's part of, you see, really what we're talking about here.
Yes.
Is the whole embodiment of your physical space.
Yes.
It's not just what it says about you. It's actually to do with your life. How you look at your own dwelling space is going to be reflecting you as a being, and also is going to help you or hinder you as a being. So if you live in some squalid place that is a rented apartment or whatever, I'm not suggesting for one moment that all rented apartments are squalid. I am just merely making a point here. If you live in whatever living space you have lived in, and you do not have a great deal of funding in order to change your living space, the simple thing you can do is to paint it differently so that it, and that's something which doesn't cost you the earth, but will actually provide you with a different scope of life, particularly if you paint it in this particular way. And if you understand how the corners of a room actually affect your well-being, your state of well-being, even if you're living in a high-rise block of flats in the middle of a city, you can actually bring your outside environment inside by using planting within your living space to help create not a false atmosphere, but an atmospheric you wish to be a part of.
Mm.
Bringing plants into the room, changing the coloration of your walls so that it's more not just about how you're feeling now, but how you want to feel. So you want to create a space using colors that do not necessarily typify how you feel at this moment. People oftentimes regret situations of creating change within their dwelling space, within their house environment, due to anger or resentment, or perhaps particularly when they have had a particular situation in life that's befallen them. It's completely the wrong time to do it. You really need to meditate over a particular color that you want to use, if you can do that.
Or meditate on it, what it is about your home that you would like to change, you know, that actually you do find to be a little sort of abrasive.
Yes, and difficult.
Yes. So, yes. I mean, you could also bring in, you know, I'm thinking about these corners, you can, rather than the painting situation, you, apart from the beautiful, maybe, fabrics that you could create an effect in the corner or something like that, also a plant that maybe crawls up the corner itself,
yes.
You know, and comes out across the ceiling a little way or something, or something tall in the corner to make it actually a little more easy on the eye.
Yes, absolutely.
So it doesn't always have to be that, does it? So,
no.
So can you just go through some colours then, some of the colours that are, I mean, some of it is obvious to us, I know.
Yes.
But I think we might be surprised by the ones that... that are universally good on everybody.
Yes, well, pinks, peaches, and flesh colours, warm colours in that way, as I say, are very good for you. Also, are a great range of actually quite cool colours as well. Blues, as many different shades of it. And so these are also situations which can actually be very presentable to you. However, we understand that some people actually like to have sharp contrast within their room environment, and I understand this. The point is, though, that it's actually you can use a better form and shape of color. It tends to be somewhat stark and very defined, creates very defined lines. If you use too much of a different color spectrum, although it may have an impact, it might not really be the impact which helps your spirit to be happy in your dwelling space. There are many colors, such as yellow environments, which are created around cooking spaces. It's quite strange, but true. And it is a situation that generally tends to lend itself to cooking environments, yellow.
Okay, why is that? Yeah, you're right. Why is that?
It is strange,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But it's actually a very good environment to cook in because it actually helps you reflect inner happiness. It's as simple as that. Because part of your childhood memory oftentimes hinges upon situations of that flower color in the natural world. It's a part of the deeply resonant color images that make up a part of your childhood. And and there are actually parts of the colours which resonate deepest within you at the earliest stages of childhood.
Wow, daffodils yellow, the sun you would always draw as yellow as a child.
Yes.
That's interesting. But yes, yellow kitchens.
Yes. And also, of course, if you want relaxing spaces, it could be any number, as I say, from womb-like colours and pastel shades of fleshy colours and that kind of situation, to also forest colours as well. These are always going to be very endemic of having a very restful state to you and helping you, in fact, to reflect upon not yourself necessarily, but to the way that you feel and the way that it helps you to feel. That's really what your living environment needs to create within you, that it's a warm space. If you have busy colour or a busy wallpaper everywhere, it's actually something which destroys the mind. Case in point, my friend.
Really?
Yes. It's actually not very good for you. Because it means to say that there is no space where your inner consciousness can just blend with your environment. Because you're always, if you have, shall we say, wallpaper that's busy, then you are always going to have to concentrate upon everything that you do. Ultimately concentrate on everything that you do so that you cannot take your eye off of anything. This creates tension and anxiety within you, deep tension.
That's interesting, and so that goes to the carpet as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Really?
So, and if you have both, if you have busy wallpaper and busy carpet, it actually creates an appalling dimension within you. It makes you feel extremely negative, abrasive. It makes you feel, and oftentimes this will develop to having a person living in that environment that has to talk incessantly.
That's interesting.
Because they're competing with their environment, always having to be on the go because the mind is drawn to objects. It's as though you are filling your world with objects. And everywhere you look at, it's exactly the same reason why some people who have ME, part of their structure of ME actually comes out with having masses of objects in the house. And that can be masses of objects which are created by the person. So it may well be piles of paper, piles of objects upon the floor. You see?
I get that when I when you see people have a wall full of photographs.
Yes.
And that's, you know, family photo, whatever, just loads and loads of photographs on one wall. I always find that overwhelming too much, and I don't even look at one, usually.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know
so,
what I mean?
Yes, you just shy away from the whole thing.
Yeah.
But imagine, though, if you actually paper the whole of your room in different kinds of wallpaper, or that you use the same wallpaper, but it's very busy, and you have a busy carpet as well upon the floor. Then you are actually pulling in the walls into your environment, and you're forcing your conscious mind to be active the entire time you are there.
That's really interesting. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, we'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are open. The number is free phone 877-876-5227 in the USA, and Canada it's 888-815-9756. Okay, so what about primary colours?
Well, primary colours are what they are, really. The situation is that you need to be able to break down primary colours into their component parts, if you like. Not forgetting that the way in which you view colour is actually opposite to how it exists. Which means to say that when you see green, you are actually seeing, reflecting, every other colour except green. And that's why you see it. if you look at the way that colors blend and evolve, you have to be careful, for example, about the different color depths that you use. So, for example, you may use a green and a red together. However, you are always going to get the movement between the two, even if their color depth, their, how can I say this? It's as though if you use a particular color in a certain way, you will find that it creates great movement. If you use specific kinds of colors so that they become more blended, but that actually they could be even opposite colors, you will find that they can actually, make a different kind of scenario for you. So that, shall we say, the opposite coloration of red and green would be to turn the red into a brown, which actually makes it far more inviting. And just simply by giving it a twist of bringing perhaps a form of yellow into it. And also the coloration changes that you find to do with temperature. Color temperature is very important. So as you look through perhaps the whole color spectrum of what blue is, you would observe that from one end of the color spectrum, it can become quite dark and very cold, almost icy in its feel. And yet at other points of the color chart, you may look and see that it actually becomes quite warm. Although blue is inherently a cold color, it can actually be very inviting for your spirit, particularly with the very subtle shades of blue, when you are adding quite large amounts of white to it. It can then bring about a very cool but lasting effect to your spirit. So it actually helps to enhance your life, particularly in feeling in creating space. You use blue to create space. Cool colors create a great deal of space, even in a small roomed environment.
What about white? I know it's clinical, but it can also be a pure color that is very calming, because like the other, you know, it's not busy for a start.
Yes, and it actually takes corners away.
Right, okay.
As do all pale colors actually take corners away. The less shapes that you use in wallpaper or whatever design it may be, the better it's going to be. The more random the situation, the easier it can become to blend a corner into actually not being so obdurate, not so prominent in your vision. And this then will help you feel relaxed. That's the point. It's inducing relaxation. I am well aware that the Zen form of artistry within the design of color and within the use of organic effects means to say that oftentimes you use almost a blank canvas, which has very fine detail, but maybe, for example, the whole idea of using raked gravel is actually to enable the lines of resistance to be lessened, but created at the same time. It's quite a strange situation, but what you actually have is you find that diverging lines or lines that move away from you actually give a restful approach to your life. This is simply borne out by the fact of perhaps placing a round object at the end, at one end of it, which appears to then rival the balance, and that's simply the balance of the texture from one end of the spectrum to the other. So perhaps, for example, you may be standing at the beginning of a piece of raked gravel. The only reason why it appeals to you might well be because there is a plant or an object which is placed some distance away from you and to one side or the other, which offsets the balance. If it had just been a simple raked piece of gravel in front of you, it would not have the same effect. The fact that it is then placed with an object slightly off center or to one side of it means that it has greater relevance. One balances the other's pathway.
So I'm going back to the room. It depends on how much light you have in the house, really, to the colours that you use.
And
I guess if you have if you do have a white room, then you can bring in the softer colours to shape and tone the mood of the room with the different coloured fabrics of what you have in it.
Yes, and of course, as we said before, using plants actually create shapes themselves, not just because of the leaves, but because of the shadows that the leaves give upon the painted surfaces. They, oftentimes, people don't realise actually the extent of how they also have an impact upon your life, you see, and how you see things, because you don't just see the plant and its various leaves or flowers or whatever it has, and stalks and stems. It's actually also the shapes of resonance that come with the reflections of those leaves from the directives of light, and how those then create patterns and shapes upon the walls of your living space.
And you don't suggest fake plants?
Well,
in some
paper
areas,
ones, I understand, can
ones,
be really
yes.
quite helpful.
It might be the only way for some people, and
yes,
some parts
course.
Of the house and that sort of thing that might need be too dark or for whatever reason.
Yes, and especially if they have a habit of killing plants.
Well,
exactly. Keeping them.
They might actually, be away a lot and genuinely not be able to tend to their plants. So, and that,
yes.
I understand that too.
Yes, of course.
Does Rudolf Steiner have a particular, not a range of furniture, but ideas for furniture? Because obviously the furniture that we have has to fit in. It's all square or
yes,
oblong, rectangle or whatever.
Yes, quite
true. Does he have some sort of line of furniture that is shaped differently? I should have done a bit more research on this.
I am aware that he actually liked very simple furniture, that was the case. It was a simple state of that, of using natural fibres, natural kinds natural materials, really. To make furniture with.
So there's not anything that we can look up that people might want to get some ideas from? Because obviously there are people that can make their own furniture as well. So,
yes,
but
course.
That might be an idea for somebody to start a line of something in that way, really. Once again, it's got to be practical and useful, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. But and as you say, when you are using items like furnishings, it is very difficult because it's a matter of how they make you feel and also their actual integral property, whether they're comfortable to sit on. Oftentimes it will be that something that looks very grand is not necessarily something nice to sit on.
No, absolutely not. No,
or difficult to use.
Last week we were talking about the wood that is in...
Yes.
If we're talking about reducing our footprint in and talking about renewable energy and sustaining the planet, then I think the top three were pine that were okay, were pine, bamboo, and cork.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
That's very true.
Which is handy to know if you missed last week's show. Okay, that's the colour shape and positions of our homes. What about the position of our actual home?
Yes. Well, this, of course, is a matter of choice then, isn't it? Whether you are able to dictate that or whether you just have to resign yourself to the state of where you live at this time. And oftentimes it has been that particularly dwellings which are built en masse do not necessarily reflect a specific direction. So it may well be that you have a really beautiful home, but it's just set up in completely the wrong direction. It should really be that conditions, notwithstanding of the local topography, for example, that you may want to engage with, perhaps that they dictate what position that you place your dwelling, if you have that ability to do that. Most people do not, because their house has already been built.
No, that's true. Hello, caller. Who's speaking?
Hi, this is Scott calling from Florida. Hello, everyone.
Hello,
Scott. Hello.
Good to speak with you again. I had a question about feng shui suggests that sometimes, I guess, to treat a corner, one can, like if you have a bookcase, you can angle it diagonally. Is that like a good idea in terms of making the corner a little bit less a corner?
Yes, I do understand that, my dear friend, and it does have its merits. However, such things really create such a great deal of difficulty, don't they, really? The point is emphasized usually by a bookcase or something like that. Inherently, when you're keeping books, it's going to have a structure that tends to dictate to you. I would really have to say, friend, that it would probably be better if you are using a large series of books that they actually occupy an inverted corner, so that you don't use them on an obtuse angle, but on something which, so that you look into the books and they actually occupy two different planes of existence, if you follow me, so that they're running along both walls that meet to the corner. That is actually a far better way of having books within your room that actually then become less obtrusive to you, less in your face, as it were.
And I would think that that would also be easier in terms of dusting and
well,
cleaning
yes.
behind.
Yes, absolutely so, yes. Yes.
And I can agree with what you said about busyness, because when I first moved into where I live now 12 years ago, the bathroom had a teal and black striped wallpaper that I could not deal with at all. I had to take it down immediately. It was hurting my eyes, and it was a bit obnoxious.
Yes. I think that's really, my dear friend, the only kind of situation that would be suitable for bats to live in, because they simply don't see light.
Would mirrors help, or putting up mirrors in one's home, particularly if you have a deep apartment, which I do have, to bring more light in, to reflect light, would that be a positive suggestion?
Oh, absolutely so, my dear friend. Using mirrors, and also at the same time as using mirrors, to use plants to help reflect the light and to change the light, so that because if you actually use mirrors, if you have particularly deep rooms, shall we say, away from the source of light, you can use mirrors to then keep the light going into the room, and also, of course, blend in the colors as well, making it much lighter and reflective. But also by using some forms of plant light, you can actually then, which would then be all right if you use mirrors, because it brings light further into the room. So I would suggest that is something that you bring about and would actually really add to the balance of the room as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory. Thank you, Sylvia.
Oh, yes, thank you, Scott.
You are most welcome,
lovely
my dear
to speak
friend.
To you again.
Thank you, so God bless you.
Okay, so...
I did not mean anything against bats, by the way, my dear friend, but it's quite simple because of the fact that their eyesight is so very poor.
Yes. Okay, well, we've got another, we've got another 5 minutes, something like that.
Yes,
what else can you tell us about colours and that helping us to feel better about ourselves, and actually not only feel better about ourselves, but feel better about ourselves? I mean, it actually does work.
Oh, yes, absolutely so, every time.
Because well, basically, I just want to say that if anybody hasn't actually heard much about Rudolf Steiner, you can look him up on the website. And it was all about special needs, really, wasn't it, initially? For
well,
the children
initially,
with special needs, and
yes.
How it would help, how the environment, I mean, not only, I mean, the whole learning thing is another situation, and all the other things that he, I mean, he was actually the founder of modern organic farming as well, wasn't he?
Yes,
I mean,
that's not pretend organics,
no,
but actually,
I mean,
real organic
farming. He has done
farming,
so
yes.
much, absolutely so much, but we'll stick to this for now.
I know, of course, that there are many scientists who wouldn't agree with that, who would much rather keep to the penchant that they have for genetic modification. Genetic modification and selection has always been a part of the progress of evolution upon the Earth. So we're not shying away from that.
No. So, so let's talk about how it actually does affect you, your spirit.
Yes.
This is what we're talking about.
Yes.
In reality.
Yes, and what it actually does is, if you create the right environment for your living space, it actually makes you inwardly happy because your spirit is more connected, and you are more connected with your spirit energy. It's as simple as that. The right color reflections in your own dwelling space create the right ambience and set up the right chain of vibration deep within you, so that you will find that it's allowing you to breathe more deeply. For example, just changing the colors of your walls and environment help you to breathe more easily. This is a good point for sufferers who have asthma.
Yes, that is a good point. The only problem I have with this situation is I never want to leave the home. You know, once you get it right, it's like, you know, I don't want to go out. Or, you know,
yes,
when you
absolutely
come back,
so.
It's just such a wonderful feeling. But
that's what it should be.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying, that you really need to create. And that can be created wherever it is that you live. Whatever your dwelling space is, even if it's a shack, it matters not. It really doesn't. I'm not talking about you having to spend thousands of pounds or dollars or yen or whatever it is that you have as your currency.
No, you can experiment quite cheaply, can't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And with these sort of basic ideas, it's very helpful. And therefore, and it might help you, if you've got children that are, you know, hyperactive or whatever, to actually think about this. You don't have to spend an awful lot of money on somebody to come around and sort your house out for you. You can maybe practice some of these situations that
absolutely
we've been talking about.
Yes, yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And we will continue with this and next week, because there are other areas still to cover in our quest for making our home a healthier environment for mind, body and spirit. But for today, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend. Thank you so, everyone. God bless.
Thank you. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and we do offer Akashic readings from Gregory throughout the week, phone readings and all sorts of different types of readings, if you'd like to take a look. And as well as Spirit's Work on Mondays, we also have Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays, and Artist First and Second Life on Sunday. So do join us again. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your call, Scott. My name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal. knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.